This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello everyone, Jules in the chair for Jimmy Smith today. I actually don't know where Jimmy is. Key and I asked him before we came on air, I said, where's Jimmy? He goes, I have no idea. Let's just put it down to secret Smith business. But he'll be back on deck tonight for the football alongside Noddy and Timmy. Great to have your company on SEN Afternoons, wherever you tuned in. SEN 11.70am in Sydney, SENQ 6.93 in Brisbane, just after 11 o'clock there to our friends north of the Tweed. SEN 16.20 on the Gold Coast and across the globe via the SEN app. You should know the open line number by now. Free call 1300 01 1170 and the text line 0457 736 736. TGIF. Now, thank God it's Friday. It's my favourite day of the week. Plenty to dive into today. Joining me on the show, Staffy from SENZ Afternoons, Ed Kennett from Red Belly Sports to chat all things racing. Mark Spud Carroll will be along for all things league. Likewise, Adam Jackson from Nine News in Brisbane will speak to Jacko shortly on the show. And Jalen Galloway, a rising star of the Sydney Kings, has just re-signed with the NBL champions for another 3 years. So I'll catch up with Jalen on the program this afternoon. Well done to the Eels. You know, I've made no secret of it that they're my second team. Obviously, I'm a Dragons man through and through. But from the area, I'm happy for Parramatta. I really am. And going into this game, you sort of couldn't escape all this talk about, oh, they could be 0-4 and 0-5, and they've got Penrith off the bye, and Penrith never lose off the bye, and then they got the Roosters off the bye. And, you know, as Chippy Frilingos once said to Bozo, the great Bob Fulton, he says, I'm going to call you Owen, as in Owen 5, he said, when Manly was struggling. Brad Arthur has shown that he knows how to beat this Penrith side. You know, completion rate was insanely good. What was it, something like 97% by Parramatta? As Noddy said last night, if you're completing at that, you're going a long way towards winning the football match. And then when Nathan booted that two-point field goal, it was a frighteningly good kick, wasn't it? Missile said last night, best field goal I've ever seen. I said, it's not as good as Anastas in the 2010 quali against the Tigers, because that meant more, but it was a pretty decent strike, wasn't it? I love the two-point field goal. But when he booted that two-point field goal, Nathan, I started to feel sick in the pit of my stomach for Eels fans. It sort of had that sniff of, here we go again. You hark back to round one against the Melbourne Storm. Never headed that game, and then goes to Golden Point. Harry Grant dives over. Scored the same amount of tries against Cronulla, lose on goal kicking. Same amount of tries against Manly, lose on goal kicking. And it's like they couldn't take a trick. So I did have that sniff of here we go again, but well done to the blue and gold. They kept their nerve. Both sides beneficiaries of penalties at crucial times. The Panthers got into position for Nathan to kick that two-point field goal after Junior Barlow got Zach Hosking high. Charged this morning with a grade two careless high tackle, by the way. He's going to miss a couple of games. And then Mitch Kenny clipped a falling Wonga Blake. Grade one for him, so he'll get away with a fine, Mitch Kenny. I didn't think there was too much into that. And I was really happy for Mitchell Moses. I know he's a maligned figure in the game. Supreme talent. A lot of pressure on Mitch Moses now to get it done. Because prior to kickoff, the news was confirmed he'd finalised his contract. He's remaining at the Eels until 2028. He is their man now. So they've kept both their halves. He's their man. Now, he's got to justify that price tag. He's got to step up and finish off games. He did it last night and goaled the point extra time. Cool as a cucumber, cool as you like, slots over the one. Parramatta kickstart their season. You know, that was a statement win last night, I felt. In the sense that all the naysayers are already writing them off. Well, you lost Nakora and you lost Marnie, you lost Papali'i. I think it'll get their season rolling. Moses looked pumped, didn't he? Really pumped. And the thing about it is, right, as much as they want to deny it, the contract talks would absolutely have been a distraction. So, oh, the professionals, they can put it out of their mind. No. It doesn't matter whether it's sport or life. We perform at our best when we have a clear mind. And he had that last night, Mitch Moses. Because you know what? We can't all be sporting savants. We can't all be Shane Warnes, freaks of nature like that. Remember Warney, 05 Ashes Tour, had his life falling apart around him. Accusations of infidelity. But he always said, you know, he was. If you see that documentary, and Michael Clarke had to sort of pick him up off the floor, go to his hotel room. But the funny thing is that when he stepped over that boundary rope, he was capable of putting all of that out of his mind to tear apart the Poms. There are always exceptions, but by and large, clarity off the field, equates to clarity on the field. 0457 736 736. Huge game tonight, of course. We've got the Dolphins and the Broncos. Before that, the game you'll hear right here on SEN, Melbourne Storm and the West Tigers. Can they kickstart their spluttering season, the Tigers? But Broncos-Dolphins, for all these, what they've been deemed lack of promotion, or what has been deemed lack of promotion, Wayne Bennett is inadvertently promoting the match because everyone's talking about him. New coach of the Dolphins, 3-0 against his old club. So this whole rivalry talk has been exacerbated by Wayne's history with the Broncos. The presses are just captivating. It's not by what he says, what he doesn't say. They are arresting. You know, Webby sort of touched on this in his column today, spoke about it a bit earlier with Matty Johns, and he said the easiest storyline this side of Suncorp is about Wayne Bennett versus the Broncos. Not Dolphins, but Bennett versus the Broncos. Because that's how big this Bennett legend has become. As Webster writes, a club unto himself. And people hang on every word. As I said, they hang on the things he doesn't say. You know, the silence speaks volumes. But this was funny. After they won in round one, he went to the dressing room. I feel sorry for you blokes, you've effed yourself. I didn't think you'd get here so quickly. That's a standard. But apparently it said that to the Dragons players. After their 17-16 Golden Point loss to Melbourne in the opening round of the 2009 season. But when he speaks, Wayne Bennett, you wonder how much of that is a ruse. Because his theory is to make himself the story, thereby taking the spotlight off his players. That was his advice to Graham Arnold. He said, Arnie said, Wayne, how do you win a comp? He said, buy me lunch, I tell you. Take all the pressure off your players. And this talk about, and Scott Sattler's talking about this, had talked about this in Origin camp, said to Petro, when are we going to talk about the tactics and look at the video of New South Wales? And, no, don't worry about that. Guess what? Suggesting that he's not big on the tactics of the game. Some assistant coaches are saying, well, that's not strictly true. But play on Wayne Bennett, never retire. I love the man. Was it 681 or 691 first grade games? I can't remember the number, but I love him. And I'll always love him because he took my beloved Dragons to a premiership in 2010. And I know Adam Reynolds said, was asked about this rivalry now that he's the Broncos captain. Nah, it doesn't match that of the Rabbitohs and Roosters. Well, no, it can't because those teams have a century of history behind them. But the Dolphins and Broncos haven't played a game yet. It will be a beauty tonight. All the pressure on the Broncos, I think they're going to be too strong. What I have to say about that today? 1300 01 11 70. Now, if you're a betting man, does Joey Sewell let you go to rugby? I'll tell you what he does. He does. The thing about it is, there has been a cross-code tug of war for Sualeti services since he was 16, a prodigy of the King's School. And he knows that, and there's still high demand for his services. He's holding all the cards. And rugby, you know, they need a win. They need the PR. They got Eddie Jones. Their work's not done. They're holding all the cards of Sualeti camp. He can more or less write his own ticket. And as Andrew Webster said this morning, there's a sense of resignation coming from the Roosters that he has signed a big deal with Rugby Australia from 2025 onwards. So factors in the Lions too, and then the 2027 Rugby World Cup. And as our mate Matty Rogers from Sports Day said, well, he's all for it. He says Rugby Australia has no option but to pay Sualeti more than $1 million a year. Because he said the code's suffering and they need Sualeti more than he needs rugby. Do you think he's worth $1 million a year, Joey Sualeti? Suppose at the end of the day, somebody's worth what you're willing to pay for them, right? And the same could be said about Mitchell Moses. The offer's probably more than $1 million. It could be one and a half. I wouldn't think two. Might be two. But I remember when Wendell signed and some of the players, the rugby players, had toiled their whole life to climb to the top of the ladder, pull on the gold jersey, the Wallabies, thinking, well, this guy's never played, no kicking game, and he's getting more money than me. So I get that. I get that. But in a sense, he's still running a business. If they get that money back, not necessarily through performance on the field, but through ticket sales and promotional and marketing returns, well, then it's worth every cent. So I say to those concerned at the Roosters or concerned broadly about the game of rugby league, if he wants to go, let him go. Do you remember, I remember back in the 80s as a little kid, I mean, how many rugby players jumped ship and came to rugby league? Mark Heller was on the verge of signing with the Dragons. I think it might have been Wally that actually talked him out of it in the end. But if Sualeti wants to go, let him go. Let him go. Because no one is bigger than the club. Certainly no one is bigger than the game. And I remember vividly when League lost Saylor, Dakiri and Rogers to the 15-man code. If you remember this, there was all this talk about a marquee war chest. So maybe we need a marquee war chest to keep our best players in the game. And this was at a time where rugby was thriving, the early part of the 21st century, when you actually knew more than two players in the Wallaby side. You could name most of them. We need a marquee war chest. We're losing our best player. Garbage, absolute garbage. Forget about a war chest. If you're going to stump up cash, pipe it into development. And the reason I say that, the next superstar is always around the corner. So don't bend over backwards to keep Sully in the game. If he wants to go, good luck to him. There'll be others. And I remember Shane Richardson, the great administrator, was asked about this at the time, and that was his view. And he's bang on. So yeah, they lost Saylor, they lost Dakiri, they lost Rogers. But guess what? Guess what? Shortly after, there's a kid that came along by the name of Greg Inglis. Then after that, a kid by the name of Billy Slater. So if you want to go to rugby, Joey Suoli, all the best. Don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out. And then you get it out of your system. Wayne Bennett said that about Berrick Barnes. Let him go. He'll get rugby out of his system. He'll come back. Oh, I don't think Berrick did. But if he wants to come back, great. We'll take you back because he's young enough. In the meantime, we've got a club to run. We've got a game to run. 0457 736 736, the text line number. Well, we had action at CommBank Stadium last night, and they're going to have to redo the lines. We've got more action tonight. The Socceroos, it's sort of flown under the radar a bit. But the Socceroos are going to play their first match, speaking of Graham Arnold, on home soil since the World Cup in Qatar. So they will face Ecuador tonight, CommBank Stadium, 8 o'clock kickoff local time. This is a wonderful chance for Sydney siders. I don't think it's a sellout. If you're not doing much, get out and watch the Socceroos. Because how often do you get to see your national team on home soil? And yeah, they're friendly matches, and we're in the international friendly window at the moment. But think about it like this, bigger picture stuff. The start of a new cycle of qualification, looking ahead to the 2026 World Cup, and riding that wave of excitement and achievement off the back of getting to the round of 16 at Qatar. So they got a couple of matches against Ecuador, and it gives Graham Arnold the chance to, well, experiment with some youngsters, blood some of these really exciting and thrilling young players coming through the system. There's a whole bunch in line to potentially make their senior international debuts. I mean, Nestor Iracunda, if you listen to the Global Game, they've been waxing lyrical about this kid. 17, freak, plays for Adelaide United, can't stop scoring. So he was called up as a train-on player, but now he's in the squad, Iracunda, because Riley McGree's been ruled out. And if he does get on the park, he's going to become the youngest Socceroo ever, so younger than Harry, younger than Garang. Alex Robertson, keep an eye out for this kid. He's part of this Manchester City squad. Hasn't played for them. Rated highly by Pep Guardiola. If Pep rates him, that's good enough for me. So Kevin De Bruyne apparently has taken him under his wing, mentoring him, plays similarly. So they're just two. Jordan Boss, 20. They're calling him a young Scott Chipperfield. Garang Kuol, of course, and we've spoken plenty about him. Named one of the world's top 50 wonder kids by Goal.com. Think, of course, Harry Suter, Riley McGree, who mentioned not playing tonight, Kai Rolls. They're early to mid-20s. So huge depth of talent. Socceroos fans have every right to be excited. So get out there tonight, Socceroos fans or Australian sports fans, and watch your national team in action. 1300 01 1170 is the open line number. Sheffield Shield final. It sort of brings down the curtain of this long Australian summer of cricket. It's at the WACA. The hosts won the toss. WA sent Victoria into bat. Stumps on day one. Victoria 8 for 194. And day two will get underway in about 45 minutes' time. But what about their opener, Victoria's opener, Ashley Chandrasinghe? That is proper old school red ball batting. 46 not out off, wait for it, 266 balls. 46 not off 266 balls. That is proper old school red ball batting. Jeff Boycott areas right there. Trevor Bailey, Chris Tavare. Go forth, Chandrasinghe, you magnificent bastard. Mind you, it's probably not going to help him. A draw, we'll see Western Australia win the Shield. So they've got to win, so they need to get on with it. A couple of wickets as well to the wild thing. Lance Morris, before we get to a break, this has been big news today. You may have heard this in your news bulletins, that World Athletics has banned transgender women from competing in elite female competitions if they've gone through male puberty. This is according to the sports governing body. And then the council also voted to tighten restrictions on athletes with differences in sex development, that's DSD. So cutting the amount of plasma testosterone for athletes in half to 2.5 nanomoles per litre from 5. Now, Sebastian Coe, Lord Sebastian Coe, the great athlete, he's the president of World Athletics, told the news conference that the decision to exclude transgender women was based on the overarching need to protect the female category. Obviously, this is a hot topic lately, particularly off the back of the protests and things we've seen in Melbourne. And the governing body had previously floated the option of transgender athletes being allowed to compete in the female category if they maintained testosterone levels below the 2.5 nanomoles mark per litre for 24 months. But it said it became apparent that there was little support within the sport for that proposal. So he's saying, Co, this is not forever. And then they will put together a task force to study the issue of trans inclusion. That'll be chaired by a transgender athlete. Look, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole today because I want to keep things light into Friday and people get very passionate about this issue. But I'll say this very quickly. I think blanket rules for trans athletes don't work. They need to be judged on a case-by-case basis or within a broader framework, a basic and broader framework. There's a lot of fear-mongering around this issue, as if women's sport will be swamped by trans females. It hasn't happened, and it will not happen. Now, trans athletes have been allowed to compete at the Olympic Games since 2004, and over four decades of transport history, we've had one Olympic Games medal. That was Quinn, the Canadian soccer player in Tokyo. They probably would have won a gold without her. No Com Games medals, no golf majors, no elite world champions, no world records, no Grand Slams, not one national or international star. So I just think there's a lot of fear-mongering hype around this issue. Hey, look, we've got a state election in New South Wales tomorrow. Dom Perrottet, Chris Minns, for our listeners in New South Wales. Don't know if you're like me. It's all felt a bit underwhelming. I see Perrottet was at the Tigers Centre of Excellence yesterday. So let me ask you this today, on this Friday. The government has given your club, your sporting club, a grant. Bottomless pit of cash. But can only spend it on one thing. What are you spending it on? Do you upgrade your ground? Is it like Brookvale Oval? Do you put air conditioning in the commentary boxes? Do you buy one player? Do you buy a coach? Do you spend it, say, for the Newcastle Knights, on the best doctors on the planet for Kalen Ponga, and he's flying to Canada for further research? 0457 736 736. The state government's giving you a bundle of cash. You can spend it on one thing for your club. Doesn't have to be rugby league. What are you spending it on? Ground upgrade, a player, a coach? Maybe you don't like your away jersey. So these are garbage away jerseys. I'm going to spend it on a hole in your wardrobe. 0457 736 736. And another thing as well, I'll run up the flagpole today. I was thinking about Ivan Cleary last night. 400 games as NRL coach, quite astonishing. He's in the top 10. He's soon going to overtake Bozo, Ron Willey and the Wok. And I was looking at Nathan, right, the preparation that he puts in. I think he'll make a great coach one day, Nathan Cleary. So what players as well, what current players in any sport do you think would make great coaches? And tell me why. So a couple of talkers on the program today. The state government got election tomorrow. They say, here we go. We've got a little sweetener. Bunch of cash for your club. You can spend it on one thing. What are you spending it on? And what current players do you think will make great coaches? I think Nathan Cleary is one of them. 0457 736 736. That is the text line number, the open line number. Call me anytime. Free call, 1300 01 1170. We are up and running this Friday afternoon. Jules in the chair for Jimmy Smith.